That being said, we're going to get into it. And I have anxiously desired to share this message with you. It's been on my heart. It's the first thing, thinking about Proverbs and thinking about wisdom and thinking about all the areas that you and I need the wisdom of God. Marriage is paramount. Now, I'm going to tell you why. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you the headings up front, and then you can follow along and keep up with me. Why is marriage and sex so important? Passion, persistence, purpose, and protection. Passion, persistence, purpose, and protection. The wisdom literature, Solomon is going to show us these things, and then the New Testament just brings them all out, and it gives us, in certain passages of the New Testament where it's dealing with the church, it pulls these things apart, and it gives very, very specific things for you and I to deal with as we love and care for each other in our home, okay? The beauty is, listen to me very carefully, the beauty is it's not that foreign from your home to the church. So the things that you are told, and I am commanded, and you are commanded to live about in your home, in your marriage, are also the things that you and I are commanded to live out, to love and to care for, to deal with the people in our church in a way that honors and glorifies the Lord, draws us closer to Him, protects this body. These are things that are brought about in the idea of marriage. And you and I are going to see those are the 4 points today. Proverbs about marriage and sex. But we're not going to start in Proverbs. We're going to start with passion. The Song of Solomon, as they were debating back and forth about the canon, there were a couple books that were kind of on the table late. One was the Gospel of, or the Book of James. One was the Book of James. Very down to earth. Hit it, wisdom literature in the New Testament. It's like, we don't know, right? The other one was Song of Solomon. Why do you think Song of Solomon was on the cusp? Before we over-spiritualized everything in it to make it mean way different than what it actually means. What is the Song of Solomon? What is the Song of Songs? It's a love story. Between who? A bride and a groom. From getting ready to be the betrothed, the two that are going to be married, into the two that are married. And so when you read through this, what do you think you're going to see and read? Do you remember before you got married? Huh? A lot of stuff churning. Right? Waiting, longing, anticipating, waiting for the moment to be told, it's time. It's the day. You know, that's one of the blessings of marriage that we need to bring back into our culture, the discipline of the wait and the anticipation of what's to come. One of the worst things we've done in America is taken sex and put it everywhere. Why do we do that? Somebody say, because it works. Say it out loud. Why do we do it? Why is it in TV? Why is it in entertainment? Why is it in media? Why is it on commercials? Because it works. It's one of the most powerful things ever given to man. We can name a couple others, but they're not going to be close. I think music is one. I think music creates an element of later on. It brings in the will and the word of God. It brings in the spirit in a way. It brings in worship in a way. It's what we were made to do. Psalm 150, I think music is one of those things, but it nowhere compares to sex. And marketing knows that, and people that make money know that, and the enemy knows that. And it's a temptation that we have taken out of the privacy of a bedroom, and we've put it on TV, we put it on our cell phone, we put it in our schools. Okay, I know we got some younger people in here, but I'm telling you, do you think they don't know, haven't seen, or haven't been tempted yet? Listen, friends, when the church stopped talking about sex and money, we lost a lot of ground. And my heart grieves the idea that the world is promoting something that not only is a fallacy, it's a farce, but it is destroying people hand over fist. It is destroying trust. It is destroying the ability to have a future. It is destroying the idea that two people can come together, can covenant, can love each other well, and can hang on for the rest of their life. It is destroying that because we're making an attachment and then ripping it apart on repeat. So much imagery in Scripture, the idea of being one flesh. What can you rip apart in half that actually lives for five more minutes? And that answer is almost nothing. And we are doing that on repeat with people. We're doing that with souls, with hearts, with spirits. And you and I need to look backward and know there's grace. Yesterday is grace-filled. Do you understand what I'm saying? I messed up. This is not to beat you up. But listen, friends, if you're like me and you got kids, or you like me and you're still breathing, and there's going to be temptation today and tomorrow, this is for you and I looking forward saying, do not partake. Scripture says, flee youthful lust, turn from them and run from them. Song of Solomon says this in chapter 1. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That's in the Bible? Yeah. That ain't even the juiciest part. For your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will exalt and rejoice in you. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly, do they love you? I am very dark but lovely, O daughter of Jerusalem, like the tents of Cedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not gaze at me because I am dark, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Tell me, you whom my soul loves, where you pasture your flock, where you make it lie down at noon. For why should I be like one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companions? If you do not know, O most beautiful among women, follow in the tracks of the flock, the pasture, your young goats, beside the shepherd's tent. I compare you, my love, to the mare among Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make for you ornaments of gold studded with silver. While the king was on his couch, my nard gave forth its fragrance. My beloved is me a sachet of myrrh and that lies between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of En Gedi. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Behold, you are beautiful, my beloved, truly delightful. Our couch is green. The beams of our house are cedar. Our rafters are pine. Sounds kind of boring, don't it? Ain't no passion there, right? Drawing out all of his best lines. Wait till we get to chapter 4, buddy. Solomon is laying it on thick. There's passion here. One of the things that we have butchered, one of the misses that we have brought about is the idea that instead of dealing in an area where there is risk, we shove things aside. We do our best to nullify all risk. And in doing that, you basically take out the lows, but you also remove the highs. We hide these things. We don't talk about these things. We nullify them. And I'm going to be honest with you. You run the risk of being vulgar. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people just won't even get into it. I can guarantee you, before this time is up, I will have said something that I wished I had not said. Maybe already have. It'll take a couple minutes to get it through the process. But you run the risk. If you take out all the bad stuff, if you worry about the temptation so you remove it, what you also miss is all the goodness, the peak and the heights and the glory and the passion. Friends, if you and I are not passionate about our spouses, we're missing. And I'm just going to beg you right now, if you're an adult, sometimes you and I, we kind of get blinders on. And we kind of miss what's actually going on. So here's my question to you. If you have a kid or a grandkid, if they grow up and they have the exact same kind of marriage or relationship as you do, would you want that? Would you want that for them? Would you want your sons and your daughters to be in a relationship that was like yours? If that answer is even slightly no, I'm begging you, fix it. You're only going to be one half of the equation, I understand that, but that half plus the Lord's blessing can really do amazing things. That half of you and I loving like Jesus, leaning in, being humble, honoring our spouse, taking care of their needs, putting them first, that stuff pays dividends. The first thing it will do is it will make you and the Lord closer. You're like, well, that's not really the answer I'm looking for. That's the one you're going to get first. When you and I start loving real people like Jesus loves them, you know what happens? You and I get closer to Him. He gets closer to us. We are closer together. And that gives strength and courage and encouragement. It gives all those things. So that when I'm giving and they're not reciprocating, you know what happens? The Lord says, keep going. He doesn't say quit. He doesn't say get mad. He doesn't say retaliate. Keep going. Love them like I love you. That's a bar too high. Turn with me to chapter 4 real quick. The passion there. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind the veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Try that one on in a little bit. We'll just see what happens. Call me and let me know how it went. Text me. I don't want to hear the yelling over the phone when I pick it up. Text me. There'll be no volume in that. Your hair, like a flock of goats. Not only that, man, but it's moving, leaping down the slopes of Gilead. He is using his best stuff. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up from the washing. New babies are nice and white. You ever complimented somebody's teeth? That'd be a weird one. Your lips are like a scarlet thread. Your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built in rows of stone. I'm guessing she's wearing a necklace. I don't know. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle that graze among the lilies. Until the day breathes and the shadows flee, I will go away to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Man, some of you today are longing for that. Can you imagine being spoken of in that way? Not flattery. I'm not talking about some 15, 16 year old flapping that yap trying to get what's not his. Flattery is easy. I am talking about deep, passionate, real love. Love that's waited. Love that's had time to build. You know, one of the coolest things about Jewish culture, you know who got to pick when the married couple got married? Father of the groom. Now, of all the people that have a vested interest in making sure this works, who do you think's got the most vested interest? He's not young and passionate. He's not all swirling with emotion and hormone. He's sitting back. He's reserved. Loves his son. Looks at his son and says, you're not ready. Your life's not ready. This is a responsibility and a commitment. You're not ready. And then all of a sudden he comes in one day and the son has done everything it is he has been preparing. He is finished. And the father says, what? Go get your bride. Now, Jesus tells a parable about those in the wedding court that are waiting for the bridegroom, right? You remember that one? All these people are waiting. They're in the court. They're going to be in the wedding. But they have to have their lamps filled with what? Oil. That doesn't make any sense to us. Number one, we got power, right? Number two, most people get married about what time? Afternoon, right? Right, we're gonna feed people sometime, so it ain't breakfast, right? Too many grumpy people there on an empty belly. So we'll go to lunch, and then we'll feed them, and we'll take care of them. We'll have a wedding, or we'll feed them after. It's usually during the day. Let me ask you something. If you were waiting and waiting and waiting and anticipating and working, and you had just finished up, and you had just put that hammer down, and you had just added on to your house, and you were just doing what your father said, and it was midnight, and the father walked in and said, I've looked it all over. You're ready. I'll sleep it off and go tomorrow. What do you think happens? This parable doesn't make any sense to us unless you understand the value and the anticipation of marriage in that culture. Dad comes in and says, you're a man. You're ready. Go get your bride. And if it's midnight, he wakes all of his buddies up. Let's go. And they're parading through town, right? Going to get his bride. And they show up, and Jesus tells the parable, what happens to the ones that weren't ready? Go on. You missed your moment. The party's taking place. The bridegroom is here, the bride is here, and the party is now going, and the people that were ready are ready, and they are partaking, and they are in the joy. And you, on the other hand, were not ready. And so you've been satisfied. Does that parable make more sense now? There was an anticipation to this. When you read the words of Solomon, you see the anticipation, right? I can't wait to run my finger through that goat's fur. Right? Huh? Smooch around on them white teeth. There is an anticipation here, and we're losing it. Because we've taken something so special and so sacred and we've made it not mundane, we've made it normal. We've made it dirty. We've tramped all over it. It's not a big deal. It's terrifying. Mark Driscoll, a long time ago, talked about the idea of sex in the Christian world. He said Christians make sex three things, okay? It's either, it's either a gift, God, or gross. Because listen, when you live on the other side of sex, when you live in the realm of abuse or hurt or harm or using, it becomes what? Gross. It's a curse. Well, friends, we have a lot of people live there. It's either God, small g, they worship it. It's gross because they've been hurt by it. Or what God would give us to give the world is it's a gift to be used. Passion of Song of Solomon is unbelievable. How about Proverbs chapter 5? There's persistence here. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. A lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. That is a command. Are you not always going to feel like that? Don't answer it, guys. I'm sorry, I'm baiting you all in. I'm trying to get you in trouble. We're just not. Why? I'm human. You are human. It's okay. You can say that. She knows. Believe me. Probably throwing your laundry in places that it shouldn't be or mismanaging the checkbook. We're just at that. What happens? Well, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, excited, or disrespected. Right? You're real. The Bible says you and I are just dust, and God knows that. Spouse knows that too. Some days we're running hot, some days we're running cold. Some days we got it all together, and some days we are a train wreck, for lack of a better term. It is just who we are. But the command, I had to apologize to a college professor one time for something I said out loud, but not to him. And I still had to approach him and say, I am sorry, I was wrong. He made a comment to a bunch of 19-year-olds that it wasn't love that kept you married. And I said, that guy's an idiot. He don't know about this kind of love. Like he wasn't 40 or 50 and had lived a life and been married forever, right? Like, but he don't know. I know. It's not love that keeps you married. It's commitment. And I thought, ooh, a little bit later on in life, I need to seek him out and tell him I'm sorry. It's commitment. The commands of God, the commitment to love, there are moments that you don't feel like it, and there are moments you could cash it all in and walk away. And the enemy is tempting that every day. So there's persistence here. It is a command in the wife of your youth. Enjoy what God has given. Make it known. Make it apparent. For the love of Him, let your children know that you love their mother, you love their father. And again, I take you back to that idea. I beg you, because one day, what kind of marriage do you want them to have? If my children follow my example, if my daughters marry a man like me, or my son becomes a man like me, I hope his family is blessed. Because that's what's brewing. And if they don't, if they make a mess, they have to do it in spite of every good example we could give them. They have to jump over my dead body to treat somebody poorly, to violate conscience or go against the will of God. You understand how important this is? And I don't want them learning it from somebody on TV. I don't want them learning it from their friends. I don't want them learning it from a teacher. I want them to learn it from me. As they see me do it in real life. To love a real person with tenacity and commitment. To be there when it's hard. To be there when it's good. To share the glory of that. To be able to say I'm sorry. And to be able to be forgiven. If they miss those, I have missed as a parent. I've missed as a man and a husband. I want them to see it in us. And know that if anything goes wrong, if they run into the first person at 18, 19, 20, 28, 29, 30, when they can date. If they run into that person and they say, this doesn't match up. This doesn't look like home. I don't feel cherished like I know my mom was. I don't feel respected like I know my dad did. Then I want them to have the pieces to at least diagnose that. Work through it. It starts at home. Golly, Neds, when did we give sex ed to the public school? And we just sat back, man. Pastors should be ashamed of themselves. Other than salvation in Jesus Christ, sex is the best gift God ever gave mankind. And we don't speak about it. How about Ecclesiastes 4? Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one... Oh, I wrote purgatory there then. Sorry. You get to Ecclesiastes, like all you got left is just being warm. Right? Like Song of Solomon, this young guy's super passionate. Then you got Proverbs, and here's the Middle Age, and this guy's trying to navigate life. And then you get to Ecclesiastes, just like, you know what? I mean, I need some warmth. It's all over. I'm going to be cold alone. Right? Bring that wife in here. I'm just kidding. It's not purgatory, just kidding. Ecclesiastes also says this. The heading in the Bible was enjoy life with the one that you love. I love this. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 7. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let your oil be lacking, not be lacking on your head. The idea is life is good. Treat it like such. It's good. Treat it like such. Verse 9 says, enjoy life with the wife whom you love. all the days of your vain life, all the days of your short life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, the grave, to which you and I are going. What's he saying? Life is short. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. You and I do not have to be broken all the time. There are moments when brokenness is proper. There are moments when mourning is proper. But for the most part, you and I should not be Eeyores. We make that joke all the time around here because I am begging you to dodge it. Do not be an Eeyore. Your life is short enough. Do not make it any shorter by wishing away good moments for whatever's next, by wishing away real moments right now with real people, looking around just hoping for something else, longing for something else. Stop it. Stop it. Buy into the real people you got. Pour yourself out like Jesus and see the fruit that comes from that. I mean, we got men and kids and boys addicted to porn. Now girls, the statistics are just shooting up. Both sexes. There was one time at this church we had three pastors. And downstairs was read out loud, one in three pastors are struggling with porn. 72-year-old gray hair, 68-year-old gray hair, me. I am not. I don't have a password on my phone. But yeah, that was a moment like, really, that's a stat? I ain't getting out of this one unbruised. You're running out of time. Do we need to say it any plainer? You're not getting 5 minutes to go back. You're not getting 5 days to go back. You're running out of time, and so am I. Love the people you got to love. Pour your heart out. Get crazy about them. It's an act of the will before it's an act of motion. It's an act of the will. God has given me. What's it say in Proverbs? You ready? The blessings of marriage. Proverbs 18:22. I love reading this at a marriage ceremony. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And the very next line I say every time in a wedding is this. Every time you see your spouse, you are to be reminded that the Lord loves you. He's given you a bride. She is a picture of God's favor. She is a picture of God's blessing. Proverbs 19:14, house and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Again, his goodness. Proverbs 20, verses 6 and 7, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Hey, who can find a faithful man? Set in your heart right now that from this day forward, you will be a faithful man. I will be one of the what the world cannot find. I will be one. I will be a faithful man. I will stand in the gap. I will love my family. I will love my wife. I will love my children. I will love my church. I will be faithful. Because that is the only bar as a Christian you and I are commanded to jump. It is required of a steward that he be found what? Faithful. I will be a faithful man. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are who? A lot of you will make a lot of decisions trying to bless your children, trying to take care of them, trying to love on them. Let me tell you the best decision you can make. I will be faithful to Jesus, to my family, my church, my community. When I fail, I will own it. I will be faithful. How about this one? Blessings of marriage. Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is like a crown of her husband, but she who brings him shame is like rottenness to his bones. Friends, be careful. You young ones that are still picking. You young ones that are still picking. Don't pick wrong. Don't pick wrong. Take in all the information. You got to see them in some kind of trouble. You got to see them in some kind of upset. You got to see their parents. You got to see their family. You got to make this diagnosis. You do not pick wrong. Walk away. Something's wrong. Something's off. Walk away. Do not pick wrong. This is a serious decision. Proverbs 31:10, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. Proverbs 31 is a beautiful passage. How about Proverbs 30 going into it? Three things are too wonderful for me. Four I do not understand. The way of the eagle in the sky, the way of the serpent on a rock, the way of a ship on the high seas, and the way of a man with a virgin. The way of a man with his bride. Some beauty in this. Don't let the world rob it. Don't let the world rob it. There's also some warnings in Proverbs. Yeah. Sure. Man, that's just the Lord speaking. She's grinning too. She ain't even upset. Hi, baby. There's some warnings in marriage. Are you ready? Proverbs 6:32 says this: he who commits adultery lacks sense. He who destroys himself. The Bible says sexual sin is against the what? Body. It's against yourself. When you and I partake in any kind of sexual sin, you are harming yourself. Don't. Run. Flee. Wait for it in proper time. Sex comes with a lot of baggage, or it comes with a lot of blessing. The only difference is if you do it according to what God says, or you do it according to what the enemy wants to tempt you with. How about Proverbs 21:9? It is better to live in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Do not elbow anybody. That's right. I am 21:19. It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful wife. Now, me and Terry always share laughter. I always love it when he's over here. I didn't get to catch him this morning, but I was laughing, but it didn't have anything to do with Terry. I was laughing about this passage. Proverbs 21, both of them meshed together, 10 verses apart. Can you imagine the day Solomon was having when he wrote these two out? And when you read his life, like he really made a mess. Solomon made a huge mess, okay? But it's like, I wonder if it was like concubine 532 and concubine like 789 were just off the chain that day. It was like, I'm going to write it, and then, man, 10 verses later, I'm writing it again, man. It's cool. This is my kingdom, this is my palace, and I would rather go hide in a creek. That to me is just hysterical. Proverbs 21, verse 9 and 19. Listen, you all, stop arguing over everything. You can say amen in your mind if you want to. Don't say it out loud. You know I'm right. Stop being agitated in your home constantly. Stop fighting about the dumbest, smallest stuff. Let it go. Scripture would say in reference to the house of God, it's better to be offended, or it's better to lose money than it is to sue your brother, and you can walk that right into the family. It's better to do the dishes yourself than to be mad at somebody else for not doing them. It's better to own it, to own more than is yours to own, to say you're sorry more often than you should. It is better to do that than it is to live in constant chaos. Constant turmoil. And men, you're just as bad. Just chuckle at those verses if you want to. But you're just as bad, and I am just as bad. Stop arguing. Stop getting nasty. Stop taking moments to jab. You're flaring up sin. You're creating temptation. How about that one? You're creating temptation for your spouse to despise you, for your children to despise you. You're also creating temptation for somebody to come in and say, man, they don't love you very good. I could love you better. Y'all better be paying attention. Stop. Stop it. Repent. Run from it. How about Proverbs 31? What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, my son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. Who do you think destroys kings? Outside the covenant and the will of God, your strength is gone. Your springs are gone. I thought about this before. You think about this in the context of life just in general. You go, you build this life together, and you're 55, and you have all this stuff and everything else, and you step out on your marriage, male or female. What happens to your stuff? Huh? Like, this is literal. It's not just figurative. It's literal. You're handing off half of your stuff to be used and blown by somebody else. This stuff is serious. Young ones, take it serious. And finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says this. This is the protection portion, right? Passion, persistence, purpose, and protection. Are you ready? Now, concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Paul says, I wish you were all celibate like me. Paul had a gift. He did not long for, need, or yearn for sex. His mission on this earth was the will of God. Starting churches, loving people, all that stuff. That's what he was doing. It is a gift. That's what he would say. Not everyone has it. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come back together so that what? Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Marriage is protection. I shared a good video this morning about Dave Ramsey. Woman called in talking about money. He said, it's not your money, it's not his money, it's our money. It's not my money and my wife's money, it's our money. And what is that? That's protection. Sex is the same way. Friends, you want to set yourself up for failure? Withhold. For prolonged periods of time from your spouse. Somebody say spouse. Sorry, I got to get that in there. From your spouse. Withhold for prolonged periods of time because you're mad, because you're angry, because of whatever you want. And I guarantee you the enemy will step in with someone else and create that temptation. Temptation to porn. Temptation to someone else. Why do you say that? Because Scripture says so. And I'm not a fool. This is protection. Your family is protected. One of the most amazing things is they come to play. I'm wrapping up. And the clock is broken. I'm sorry. We're probably way long. One of the most amazing things, and I remember talking about this a while back, the last time we did a marriage thing. The female body creates a hormone that is produced while they nurse. What's it called? Somebody in the medical field, yell it out. Oxytocin? What's it called? It's a binding. It's a binding thing. Why? Because that little baby is helpless. That's what it's providing anything. This really isn't like a 50-50 kind of relationship. It's a mother loving a child that if there's not a binding there, it's going to be real easy to let go and walk away from. Especially when times are hard. You understand? So God in his wisdom binds them together with this beautiful hormone. You know when a man's body releases it? During sex. God has built in a chemical protection that used beforehand is a manipulation to get what you want. Used in the confines of covenant and commitment, it is a binding that takes place between that man and that woman that sets it up for a blessing. It's all right there. God knows exactly what we need. He has given the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, who has come to live a life that we couldn't live. To live a life of purity, of self-control, of perfection. For the rest of us, he gives grace and mercy. Your greatest gift in life, your greatest protection, listen to me very carefully, is not your children. Until they become peers, they're a drain. Come on, you all. Why do I say that? Because you are working to mature them. You're working to love them. You're correcting. You're pushing. You're prodding. You're getting in there. It's hard work. Don't grow weary in doing good things. That's what Scripture says. Why? Because it's wearisome. You know what the protections God has given you? Marriage and the church. Outside the Holy Spirit, outside the Word of God, your greatest gift to protect you from temptation and sin is a good marriage. Not just marriage, a good one. Stand with me today as we get ready to start this study in the next 31 days after next Sunday. Sunday and then Monday. We're going to start this devotion together. I invite anybody to partake, okay? Knowing that we're going to be developing some skills that's going to help later in life. If you're not married, that is fine. If If you have a spouse that doesn't want to do it with you, I'm begging you, partake anyway. Learn to love and to care like Jesus and watch and see what God does. That being said, your greatest protection is a healthy marriage. Your greatest detriment then on the other side is what? A bad one. You want to be tempted daily? Despise your spouse? You want to be tempted to fall? You want to be tempted to dishonor the will and the heart of God? Have a bad marriage and keep it that way forever. That enemy is going to work on you every day, beat you to pieces. If you need something this morning, you come. We're going to pray together, and we are going to get out of here.